Gloucester History Festival.
Beams in the Blackfriars were donated by Henry III. And
I mean, there's so much great stuff that goes on here. If anyone's not been to Gloucester History Festival.
The Gloucester History Festival special series on History with Jackson.
Hello and welcome back to the History with Jackson podcast. We are joined by Dr. Janina Ramirez.
Professor.
Sorry, I am so sorry.
Only as of a month ago, so you're fine. I haven't got it right yet either.
And you are president of the Gloucester History Festival.
I am my beautiful festival baby. Yes, yes, I first got involved, oh gosh, it's coming out to a decade ago, dare I say it. I was filming for the first time ever in Gloucester, and I went up to Gloucester Cathedral, and my mind was blown. I'm a big cathedral fan. I mean, I'm a medievalist. It's like, that's kind of my heaven. And I was taken up onto one of the towers by the, he's actually the resident mason, Pascal. Yeah. He does all the stonework, the stone carving around the cathedral. And I went up into the tower and we'd spent hours together, and he's this Frenchman who's found Gloucester as his new home and he loves it. And he said, look out from this tower. He said, there is Cheltenham and they have everything. And here is Gloucester and we have nothing. And he said, you know, we've got high teenage pregnancy rates, we've got high drug use rates, we've got unemployment, we've got real issues, and we've got this massively diverse community. We want to bring the communities together. What do we do? But when in the middle of all of that, there is some of the most unbelievable history in plain sight. Everywhere you turn, why can't Gloucester have its chance? Why can't it be centre stage? And so we thought, well, it's history. It's got to be history that can bring everybody together. And 10 years later, I mean, the transformation is unbelievable. The whole city is transformed. But what is at the very heart of that is this camaraderie, this sense of community and friendship and working together. In so many big cities, you have one group doing this, one group doing another, never the twain shall meet. Whereas we all sit down around a table, the Civic Trust and the Historic Buildings curators and everybody, and we're saying, what do we do together? How do we make Gloucester really lean into what it makes it unique, which is its history?
I think that's been something walking around Gloucester. I've only come for the festival. Yay. So walking around Gloucester.
Hopefully you'll come back now. This is the thing. Come for the festival, stay for Gloucester.
Well, we did the cathedral the other day.
Oh my goodness.
It's absolutely stunning. And being surrounded by all the history. Yeah. I mean, even in this very building we're recording in.
Absolutely.
There is history all around.
You can't. You're stumbling over it. I went to get some toiletries from Boots, and underneath my feet are the Roman baths. Yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. But it's, I was very lucky because I got taken on a tour right after I sort of agreed to come and do the festival, where we went around the major sites. So things like the Georgian ceiling in a shoe shop, like the Costa coffee that's got the most perfectly intact 16th century facade. These things that you, if they're not pointed out to you, you might miss them, but they are literally everywhere on every single corner. It's crazy in this city.
And it lies into that idea that we take history for granted. And even though it's all around us. So how have you combated that with the festival?
Well, we work in harmony. So particularly in the September festival, we have these open days where you can go into people's houses, where you go hundreds of tours opportunities, where our wonderful team of volunteers and experts take people out to different types of tours. Do you want to do Civil War? Do you want to do the Romans? Pick, you've got it all here. And the open access thing is really important, because buildings that might be private dwellings or might be business dwellings, they open up for the Gloucester Festival, and then people can go and see them and get really close to that history that's on their doorstep. So it's essential. I mean, there's three strands really to what we do. One is this idea of the community and the buildings outside in the city and the tours and the civic trust aspect. Then we have City Voices. And City Voices for me is that was probably the most important part of the festival when we first set it up, because it's now become its own entity. City Voices is entirely about working with the communities of Gloucester. We have one of the most diverse streets in the UK, with I think it's over 100 different nationalities represented on one street, Barton Street. And it was so important that these communities didn't feel they were existing in isolation, that they could come together, share their cultures, their histories, their stories together, and inspire one another and the people of Gloucester, all of us, to come together around these stories. So City Voices has grown into this phoenix that's sort of taking off and bringing everyone together with cookery, with music, you know, with events. We've had rap events, we've had, you know, photography exhibitions. So that's another strand. And then there's us. And I suppose in many ways what we're doing is the traditional side of things, the traditional history festival. But actually what we're doing is we're inviting people who have beautiful, brilliant, and exciting new takes on history to challenge what we think of as the discipline of history. And, you know, history doesn't start and stop with dates and battles and great men. It's the world, and it's everything that's happened to humans. And we can bring in music, and we can bring in science and technology and archaeology and all these things that have histories of their own. Why don't we talk about those too? There's space at the table to share those thoughts.
And I love that we're getting away, here at Gloucester, we're getting away from that great man theory
totally.
That's dominated history, the world wars,
yeah.
and looking at other types of history. But, you know, you've got a talk this afternoon.
I have.
Could you give us a small taste?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to this afternoon. So it's putting women back into history, which is what I do in my books. I've always been someone that looks for the underdogs in history and people who are written out. And by looking at women, that's sort of the biggest prism of people who have been written out. But I feel by looking at women, you find all the other excluded voices too. People who've been excluded on matters of class or race or on background. And so it's finding these silenced voices. And so that's what I'm really excited in doing, is bringing my woman, who is Joan of Arc, to the table and saying, yeah, she's an exception, but what does that exceptional woman open up? How does she become a window on culture and society that we can learn lessons from? And are we actually in a position of being backwards in the way that women think about themselves and society thinks about them than we were maybe 800, 900 years ago? Attitudes change, and we are given a version of history that suits our present day. We only inherit, it's like survival of the fittest, you know? We inherit the bits of history that best serve the generation that's using them. And what else is there? So I'm all about finding the lost stuff.
I think that's a lovely taste. It dives into what everyone here at Gloucester's doing, like tackling misconceptions,
yeah.
Tackling the Western perspective on history. I absolutely love that we do that here.
Yeah. Now, well, you know, there's other festivals that do things differently, and there's something for everybody, isn't there?
You know,
history is such a broad church, and there's absolutely stuff within our own brochure. If you want the traditional narratives, if you want to do kings and queens, if you want to do battles, and if you want to do military history, that's all there too. It's just we've thrown our doors open a bit wider.
Now, I want to ask you, you know, how do you balance being a historian but also being a mother?
Oh my gosh. Well, I thought I was entering a easier phase because my son is nearly 15, my daughter's nearly 13.
Oh, that never gets easy.
And I was like, you know, you can dress yourselves now. You can kind of make yourself a sandwich if you're hungry. But my goodness, the emotional needs change. And they actually need me around more, I think, than before. So, I mean, it's wonderful. I wouldn't change anything. I want to be in a world where a woman isn't asked, how do you balance motherhood, in a way that a dad isn't asked, how do you balance parenthood? But we're still not in that world. And I have had to make sacrifices and I've had to juggle. But I also have the support of an amazing spouse who kind of does a 50-50 job. And you know, my kids have grown up as absolute history nuts now. They're both acing history GCSE.
Oh,
I'm just like, get the reports. I'm like, as long as history's got an A, I'm fine. But my son's a musician, my daughter's an artist, so they're creative. And I, you know, I was in an interview with Peter Frankopan before, and we were talking about education and how important education is to really change the society that we're in today. And what I think is so important with children's education is that they remain curious. And that curiosity can be stoked in the classroom, it can be stoked by a friend, or it can be stoked by family in the house. But just feeding them with variety, feeding them with things, just maybe something will stick. Yeah. You never know. It might be one trip to the Natural History Museum and then they're going to become a paleontologist, or, you know, one trip to a gallery and they're going to become an artist. So I think my encouragement, and partly why I do the festival and we have the educational and outreach aspect, is if we can spark enthusiasm in younger people too, that sets them up for a life full of passion and full of fulfillment.
Yeah, and as a teacher, I completely understand and agree that we need to help foster that creativity.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm sure that your fridge is absolutely
packed. Oh my goodness. Well, I've just managed to get rid of, because my kids came back and they were like, why have you still got pictures up there from when I was five? So I have had to kind of pull it back now. And my cupboards are now full of all the documents. But what we've got instead, so I had to make a substitute with them. I was like, look, I want stuff on the fridge. So we've ended up getting magnets from all the places we've been to.
Yeah, oh, that's
and that's really, really nice because now they go up to the fridge and they're like, oh my goodness, do you remember when we went to the Hellfire Caves? Oh my gosh, do you remember when we went to Crete? And so they're sort of, they still see it as a memory board, you know?
Oh, that's really
just
nice.
A slightly less messy one.
What type of historical debates do you have at home at the kitchen table?
Oh my, well, our debates, they're not single disciplinary.
Yeah, okay.
They kind of go off in every direction, and I like that, you know. So we might start off talking about the wives of Henry VIII, and then we might end up talking about women's rights, and then we might end up talking about body image and beauty, and we'll sort of ping off in lots and lots of different directions. But you know, they are not going to end up being historians. I'm perfectly aware of that. But if I fostered some love for the subject in them, then they'll have that with them for the rest of their life, and they will never be able to walk past a cathedral without going in.
Yes.
And that's at least I've left that legacy.
I think that's a win.
That's a strong win.
Now, I have a final fun question for you.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you've been involved with Gloucester for so long now, but what has been your favourite thing that you've seen or heard across the course of your time with Gloucester History Festival?
My goodness, this is like that question, if you could go back to any point in time, where would you go to? And I always say I wouldn't.
No.
I'm absolutely happy with where I am, and because if I went back any time, I wouldn't have the opportunities or the life and the experiences I have. And I feel the same about Gloucester. I feel like every event, every manifestation of this festival is just a better version of what's gone before. I mean, we've had such extraordinary talks. I remember David Olshoger, the first time he came and did, he was talking about black soldiers, and you could drop a pin in Blackfriars. Everyone was just on the edge of their seats. And we've had Keris Matthews mixing up cocktails while playing her guitar as we've seen the night out. We had Gothfest where Incubus Succubus came and played, and we lit the whole of Blackfriars with candles, and everybody danced like wild people. It was beautiful. And Robert Plant came, and we had a big discussion about crop circles. And so, you know, this festival goes in so many different directions, and I think to pick one is impossible. I've just come out of what I think is one of my favourite talks, and I'm probably going into what I will think will be my next favourite talk. So it's to me it's a journey, and we have come a really long way in 10 years, and we've got, you know, sky's the limit, and I want to make access to good quality, diverse, educative information available for free and available worldwide, so that anybody can benefit from what we're doing here. And that's the next goal, is to go online, go global, and spread this beautiful work we're trying to do here with everybody.
I think that's a brilliant answer, and I can't wait to see you share it with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank
I really
you
appreciate
so
your
much.
Time.
It's been so nice talking to you. Thank you.